Blog Talk Radio.
That talk there was adding this millions and millions of people who are coming away to us by the Blog Talk. So we certainly wanted to wait on that. And we want to welcome all you who are coming by way of blog to this prayer line. This is the First Fruits Worldwide Prayer and Praise Convention line. And we give God honor. I don't come to you haughty or boastful or proud. I come to you as a lamb. Amen. And thank God for all you shepherds and shepherdesses and all you great people in the Lord. I certainly don't think that I'm anything great, but I do thank God for using me for his glory. And I thank you all for allowing me to come before you. Thank you so much. God bless all of you. Let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, happy birthday, Lord. Happy birthday. We celebrate you all year long, your birthday. And we celebrate you in the midnight hour and celebrate you in the wee hours of the morning. For you deserve a celebration all day, all night. All the things you do that we don't even think about. How many people, Lord, think about how you let them breathe all night long, and yet, if they hadn't, they would be in the cardiac arrest. And yet you let them breathe all night long. And some people woke up this morning and didn't even say thank you. I don't think they realize what you've done for them. Yeah. And then on top of that, you let our hearts beat all night long. Who on the line here had anything to do with that? Who on the line had anything to do with the breathing? Perhaps they tried to help it. But the actual thing of them breathing, God, was done by you. We praise you for it. Thank you for everything you've done. Legs to walk. I got up this morning and put my feet on the floor and could move my legs. Thank you so much for everything you do. We love you. We appreciate you. You never fail us, Lord. Never. There's no failure in you. And, Lord, all we have to do is be not weary and well-doing. For in due season we'll reap if we faint not. And, God, help us never to faint, but to keep on doing your perfect will. It brings me to asking you to forgive us for all sin, not only the sin of commission, but the sin of omission, the things that we should have done that we haven't done yet. And God, help us to move quickly and respond quickly to your voice when you say do something. Help us to be about our Father's business in the name of Jesus. Now look on every person on this prayer line, every participant, every person who's on the line. I'm asking blessings everywhere for them. Blessings like they've never seen in 2015, and miracles like they've never seen in 2015. Hold them up, Lord. Have patience to wait on those who are slow. Have patience to wait on those that have that patience for those who have not moved when you say move. Thank you for everything. Now, we just surrender this line to you. Have your way. Have your way. Nobody like you. We're not going to even doubt you ever because we know too much about you. Let this be a bumper day in you. In Jesus' name we pray. And we pray this for the glory of God. And for Christ's sake, in Jesus' name we pray. Thank God. Amen and amen and amen. And amen and amen and amen. God bless all of you on the front line this morning. Thank you. Oh, God.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you. And it came to pass that as they went, oh my God, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. I don't want to focus on that verse this morning. That's another message, and I've preached that before. But let me read this again. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. I want to talk this morning to you about this topic, give the anointing time to work. Give the anointing time to work. Because we're living in a very impatient time. The new crowd here in this day and time seem like they don't have patience for anything. And you can tell many times because when they pray, you hear them saying, Lord, do it now. Now, Lord, do it now, 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 Lord, do it now, do it now. And I can sympathize with you wanting it to be done right now. But I want to tell you something. He may not come when you want him, but he's right on time. And I want you to put yourself in the Lord's place. I want you to bring your granddaughter before you. And your granddaughter makes a request. Or let's bring your son before you. And your son makes a request of you. And when they make the request of you, they say, Mama, do it now, Mama. Do it now, 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 Mama. Do it now. Do you know who you're talking to? You're talking to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I would advise you to come as humbly as you know how to God. And I wouldn't ask him like that. I really wouldn't. I don't think I'd appreciate my daughter talking to me like that. Amen. You sometimes you forget who you're talking to. God is the God of timing. Even Jesus doesn't even know when he's going to come back because the Father hasn't told him. So I would approach him very humbly, and I wouldn't approach him like that. But this crowd nowadays, they're very impatient. They want everything now, 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 now. They don't know how to wait. But God knows when to come, and he decides when he's coming. And one of the reasons why people think God is slow is because they don't understand his thoughts. He even says, my thoughts are as high above your thoughts as the heavens are above the earth. And when God wants to come, he will come. And see, people don't understand his timing because they don't understand that one day to God is like 1,000 years. See, he's on a different clock. You on AM, he's on FM. And I would advise you to get on FM with him and not think he's slow, but you got to understand, if God comes in the next 42 days for you, you ask him something. If he answers your prayer in the next 42 days, if you calculate that 42 days compared to 1,000 years being one day, that means that he came and moved for you in 1 second. 1 second to God is like 42 days. So you got to understand that his timing is not like yours. And he sees, he knows, and he's going to come. Amen. When you ask him something, may I suggest to you that you ought to give the anointing time to work. Even though your timing is so, so small, give it time to work. I want to read this text right away and get into this. And those who are joining us, looking for my mother, she'll be here tomorrow. She's not feeling well today. This text says, and as he entered into a certain village. We'll pull out some golden nuggets for you on this. There met him 10 men that were leopards. Now, let's go back. And as he entered into a certain village, that I hope you didn't miss that. It doesn't say the name of the village, which means that it could be your village or just a certain village. As he entered into a certain village, your city, your little area, Jesus can enter into your area. And when he comes on the scene, everything is subject to him. And he comes for a purpose, and that is to be a blessing to you. There met him 10 men. Notice that their names are not there. That means that it could be anybody. And if you look at what happened to them, they got healed. It says it later on. That means that anybody can be healed. You, woman, you can be healed. I'm going to show you how in a few minutes through these 10 lepers. 10 men that were lepers. Leprosy was the most vicious and vile disease of that day. This day we got cancer and other things, but leprosy was a thing in that day. It was so vicious, it could, rot your hand off, hand fall, rot your foot off, foot fall. It was terrible, terrible. And the way that they became lepers or noted as lepers in their community is that they had to go show themselves to the priest when they saw red blotches on their skin. Red blotches. This is not quite as bad as leprosy, but if you got that, when you got those big old bumps and red bumps on your skin, shingles, My mother says that that's the worst thing she's ever had. Amen. But they had to go, and I had it too. Amen. It's terrible. They had to go show themselves to the priest. Now, I want you to see something here. The priest then was the one who pronounced them unclean. Unclean. Now, in this text, it says 10 men. So you have to imagine that the priest is saying, the 10 men, unclean, 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 unclean. See, he pronounced 10 of them unclean. And that was a sad and terrible day for the priest to say that. That was like, can't you hear people screaming everywhere? Their husband, their father, their brother pronounced unclean and screams everywhere because they knew what that meant. That meant that they could never, never come back home again. Oh, I know how it feels in a sense for a loved one to leave. When our granddaughter left for the Marines just last night, she took a flight. She was away from the home on Sunday, amen. But they quarantined her Sunday afternoon, and left last night. There were tears everywhere when it was announced that this was her last Sunday at church, and we planned a big reception, things like that. But people were crying everywhere because she had to leave, amen. We'll be back in 13 weeks. Lady Betty was crying. Lanisha was crying. People all over were crying. I had to hold back the tears. But can you imagine these 10 lepers? They had a family. They had loved ones all around them. But the priest said, unclean. Unclean, unclean, unclean. And they had to wave at a distance. They couldn't even go there and hug their wife. 10 men, they were not able to go home and hug their kids. They could never go back home again. It was thought that it was over. And they had to be quarantined. Because you got to understand, leprosy in a way was so contagious that it could wipe out the whole village. It was like that smallpox thing. When they had smallpox, they would have to burn up almost everything in the village, because it will wipe the village out, and leprosy will wipe out the whole village, unless they got those lepers quarantined somewhere. And they couldn't wait. As soon as they saw those white lodges, the priests had to pronounce them unclean. And so they went in the cave. Now, unusually, they heard that a man named Jesus, see, they didn't know who he was. They just heard the buzz. There had to be a buzz all over town because they were quarantined. How are they going to hear that Jesus is coming? Jesus is going to come. The only way they could have heard it, people couldn't have gone in that cave. They were afraid to go in that cave. So the only way they could have heard it is that the people were talking about Jesus everywhere. They were saying, he's coming. Jesus is coming. Oh, he's healed. He's healed the sick. He's raised the dead. Yeah, that Jesus we're talking about, that's the one. He's coming to our village. He's coming here. See, and that's what we ought to be doing as saints of God. That's what he called us to do as disciples. Jesus is coming. We ought to be saying, Jesus is coming. Jesus will heal you. Jesus will save you. Jesus will fix it for you. Jesus will make a way for you. Jesus will be there for you. He will lift you up when you're down. Jesus will be there. He'll fix it for you. He'll bring you in when you're out. Jesus is coming. See, we ought to be telling folks, Jesus. 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 But see, these are disciples nowadays. We got it kind of mixed up. Amen. And I say this, that my lifelong goal, I have one goal now in life, and that is to make the name of Jesus hot again. That's my goal, to make the name of Jesus hot again. And he's showing me how to do it. See, because you got to understand that in that day, the disciples were with Jesus, but they weren't really the person that the crowd was coming to see. See, they announced that Jesus is coming to town, and thousands of people flocked everywhere to come to see Jesus. It's like in Africa now, when you announce that Jesus is coming, when you announce that there's going to be a healing revival, et cetera, they come from thousands, thousands come from miles and miles around just to be healed, just to be saved, because they're excited about Jesus. But this day and time, the disciples announced, they coming. I'll be there. And I understand that, you know, because I've had, you know, huge concerts, and many times, you know, we had to advertise, you know, our personal name and things like that. Because this crowd nowadays only, they don't understand that Jesus is coming. But you have to get him there some way. And but I want to just emphasize that we got to get so that we come for Jesus, not because we're here. And thank God for these great disciples who have great ministries, like Bishop Jakes and like Crespo, I guess, and others, some women who have wonderful ministries, Myers, Joyce Myers, and others. But in that day, they announced Jesus was coming. And that's a learned response. When you come for the disciples, that's a learned response. You're taught, in a sense, in a way to respond to they coming to town. When they come to town, you pack it out and fill up the auditorium, et cetera. But in that day, they announced Jesus was coming. Nowadays, you can announce Jesus is going to be here, and you might have 12, 15 people, maybe 25. But see, that's a learned response, and it can't be taught again. Respond to the name of Jesus. That's who has done everything for us. What we have, he gave us. Who we are, he made us. What we know, he taught us. Where we come from, he brought us. The roof over our head, he provided. The shoes on our feet, he blessed us to get. The car that we drive, he blessed us to get it. And I can just go on and on. But he's the reason for the season. I mean, celebrate him all year long. And here, these lepers must have heard through the buzz. His name was everywhere, buzzing everywhere. That Jesus is coming to town. Because somebody had to be passing by the cave, pretty far from the cave. They weren't that close, but they had to be saying aloud, Jesus, he's coming! Jesus, he's coming! And they heard it. They heard it. And when they heard it, they started looking for this Jesus. They didn't know which one he was. It was a great crowd. But they tried to figure out who he was. So they watched. to see who people were flocking around. Jesus, they had to have an entourage around him, and they had to be flocking around him because these lepers recognized who he was after he came on the scene. And they were looking and trying to figure out, who is he? And when they saw all the people around this one person, they were around Jesus. They went around the disciples. They were around Jesus. And these men recognized it. And they said, "Thou son of David, have mercy upon us. Have mercy." Mm-hmm. And Jesus responded in an unusual way. What did he say? He just told them, "Go show yourselves unto the priest." I'm talking about give the anointing time to work. He said, "Go show yourselves to the priest." They probably thought he was going to say, I heal you right now. They thought he was going to say something that would have been very wonderful for them. But he simply told them, "Go show yourselves unto the priest." Now, I want you to see something here. These men had been pronounced unclean by who? By the priest. And Jesus could have healed them right then and there by saying, "Be healed." That's probably what they were wanting him to do. "Be healed." But Jesus didn't say that. Jesus said, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And I want you to see that even though Jesus was the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he respected authority. Do you hear that? Do you see that? It says in verse 14, this is the 17th chapter in Luke, the 14th verse. "And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priests." Jesus respected authority. Could have spoken right then, they would have been healed. When he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." Now, I want to tell you what Ambassador Lady Betty showed me about this. She said, the reason why that Jesus told him to go show yourself to the priest is because the priest had pronounced them unclean. And if they had been healed by Jesus, the fact that they were healed and they hadn't been pronounced clean now, perhaps the people in the village wouldn't have believed it. They wouldn't have believed it. So Jesus respects authority and tells them, go show yourselves to the priest, because he knows that the same person who pronounced them unclean, if he would pronounce them clean, the people in the village would believe it and they can go back to their families. Oh, my God, I hope y'all didn't miss that. So they went toward the priest, and the priest was the one who pronounced them clean again. And when he pronounced them clean, everything was lifted. The ban was lifted off of them by the priest. See, Jesus respected authority. Okay. And I want you to see some other things here. I saw this in the text. It's so important that we don't call God senile. I want you to see that in this text. So important that we don't call God senile. What is a senile person? A person who's losing his memory, who's losing his thoughts. He may not remember who you are, may not remember anything about where he is. In other words, a senile person is a person who does not know what he's doing. Let me say it again. He does not know what he's doing. And see, some people in this day and time are calling God senile. He doesn't know what he's doing. See, we saw the other day with the lesbians and the gays. I'm not trying to bash anybody, but you got to see this thing here. They say, God didn't know what he was doing. Here I am, a man in a woman's body. Or here I am, a woman in a man's body. God didn't know what he was doing. Let me tell you something. God is not senile. God knew exactly what he was doing when he hurled the sun into space and called the light day and the darkest night. He knew what he was doing when he took a man and took the rib out of the man and made the woman. He knew what he was doing when he made the man from the dust. God is not senile. He knows who is a male and what he was doing and a female. But it's the enemy who comes to alter things every time God has done something wonderful. He comes to alter things. He doesn't want things to be like God created them, so he comes to alter them. But God is not senile. These lepers here didn't call God senile. When God said, go show yourselves to the priest, they didn't say, oh, God don't know what he's talking about. He ought to say, be healed. He didn't tell God. They didn't try to tell God what to do and how to do it. No. They said, we're just going to do what the Lord says do. And that's what we ought to do. When God speaks to us, we got to move in the name of Jesus. Move when the anointing is moving. Move when the anointing says move. God is the anointing. When he says move, move when God says move. And that's when you get the blessing. That's when you get the miracle. When you learn to move while the anointing is speaking and God says move. Here, Jesus says unto them, go show yourselves to the priest. Now, I want you to see some other things about this. It's so very, very, very important. The Bible says, when Jesus said that, and it came to pass that as they went, that's the next sentence, as they went. In other words, they didn't hesitate. They didn't try to hang out with their co-workers. No. When they got their assignment, no. They didn't try to hang out with their buddies, and they didn't try to hang out with their girlfriend, hang out with their boyfriends, and all that kind of stuff. No. Because if they had not went then while the anointing was moving, there was a chance they may have missed their miracle simply because they were trying to hang out with this or that. Because as they went, they didn't hesitate. There's nothing in that sense that they hesitated. It says, as they went. Oh, my God. Because, you see, you got to understand that if they hadn't gone then when Jesus says, go show. That verb there means that I want you to do something. Go show. That's an action verb. Go show. You got to do something to get the miracle. If you want the miracle, go show. And the Lord, did you miss that? The Lord is saying to you, if you want the miracle from him, you got to do something to get the miracle from him. Go witness to somebody about Jesus. Go help somebody and win them to Christ. Go take some groceries to a senior saint who ain't got no food. Do something. If you want a miracle from God, do something. Amen. Thank him 1,000 times or do something. You may not understand what that's all about. Just thank him 1,000 times or do something for the Lord and see what happens. See if the miracle falls. I think it will. Amen. But you go show. Amen. Do something. Now, I want you to see some other golden nuggets in here. Okay, when it said, go show yourself to the priest, it came to pass that as they went, as the young people would say, bam, there it is. As they went, my God. That has a whole lot of a meat in that right there. As they went. Oh, my God. What does that show us right there? That as they went means that there was an opportunity to see their faith grow in Jesus Christ. Because, see, all they had heard was that Jesus was coming. They didn't know who Jesus was. They just heard that Jesus was coming to town. And they didn't have faith in the Lord. Well, they had some faith because they were waiting on him and they had heard so much about him, but they didn't really know what he could do because they'd never seen nothing. Yeah. But as they went, see, that was giving them an opportunity for their faith to work and their faith to grow. See, they had to become, you might say, a faith man in order to receive that miracle. Notice that when Jesus got ready to heal somebody in the Word of God, normally he always asked them, do you believe? So that was one of the ingredients in order to get a miracle. Do you believe? They had to have faith to believe in God. So as they went, gave them an opportunity to really grow their faith as they were going. I hope you see that. Yeah. Faith. If you have the faith as a grain of a mustard seed, all this is working at the same time. If you have the faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can speak to a mountain, and a mountain will move in the name of Jesus. I said, Lord, how can that work? Some years ago, I was saying, Lord, how can that work? You're going to move a mountain like that. And the Lord showed me. He said, now, Bernard, there can be a congregation who wants to put a church in a certain area, and a mountain is all taking up the space where they really want the church at. They want it visible, this place. And that. So what happens? They speak to the mountain and say, mountain, you got to move. We got to get a church for the Lord Jesus Christ right there. We got to have it right there. And then they have faith to believe it. They got faith to believe that God's going to move that mountain. Then God showed me all of a sudden the Holy Spirit speaks to some way God speaks to that mayor of the city and says, we got to have a new city hall, and we want to put it over there because that's the best place in the city to put it. But the mount is there, and we got to have that mount to move. I want us to vote, and the commissioners come together and voted on it, and they say, yeah, we're going to move that mountain. And then the next a few days, you see these man movers, these huge tractors that have plows on them, and they're digging up that mountain and moving that mountain and moving it out of the way and taking that dirt out of there and getting all that dirt out of the way. God used that mayor and the commissioners, but he was God using those people. See, God uses people, and all of a sudden, when they get that mountain moved, right on the right side of the mountain is some land left, and that's exactly the place that that church wanted to have their church in. And God moved that mountain because they had the faith to believe God. God moved the mountain. If you have the faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you can speak to the mountain, and the mountain will move. He'll move people to move for him. Oh, my God. They had to have the faith increased in order to have that leprosy, which was a mountain. It had to be moved, and God was working and building faith in them as they went. Not only that, as they went, I got to get here to my subject here. You got to give the anointing time to work. May I suggest to you that another reason why Jesus said, go show yourselves to the priest, not only because the priest was the one who had to pronounce them clean now so that the village people could receive them and believe that they were clean, and not only did they need an opportunity to have their faith increased, because faith is what really moves God. They also developed hope. Yeah, as they were going, they developed hope. They said, Jesus said unto us, go show ourselves to the priest. And they began to realize they was the priest who pronounced them unclean. And it gave them hope as they were walking. Yeah, hope. They began to hope that God was going to do something for them. Yeah, he said, go show. He said, ourselves to the priest. So maybe something's going to happen. And their hope began to come up. You see, the Bible says we're saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what we see is what we hope for. But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience. There comes the patience thing. Then do we with patience wait on it. See, their hope was built too. See, they had to have hope in order to get a miracle like that. That vicious and vile disease had to be lifted. And they had to have that hope. So not only did they have to show themselves to the priest, not only did they give them a chance to see that faith even move it to another level so they could believe God, but they had to have that hope. Hope goes into faith. Yeah, you got to have that hope in order to be saved. And Jesus knew that they had to have hope. So he gave them time to go into the city. As they went, he didn't hit them right then, but as they went, he had to give them time because he was trying to do something in their hearts and in their minds. They needed this. They had to have hope. They had to have faith. But not only that, as I get ready to close here today, they had to have time for the anointing to work. You got to give the anointing time to work. Give it time to work. You got a line. And perhaps you got in Dr. Bernard Johnson's line, or perhaps you got in Dr. Stern's line, and they prayed, I prayed for you, she prayed for you, whoever prayed for you, and a man of God, a woman of God, they prayed for you, and they asked God to heal your body. And then when they got through praying, you looked at your hand, and your hand was the same way. Or you may have had a headache, and you felt your head, and the headache was still there, and you... The devil trying to get you to say you wasn't healed because it didn't instantly happen. See, you got to understand that some miracles happen instantly, and then sometimes miracles happen the way I'm getting ready to explain to you. And since that your head was still aching, you thought you didn't get the miracle. But you got to give the anointing time to work sometimes. See, you can understand that some miracles don't happen instantly, but they happen. God showed me that some miracles happen like this. You got a child, and that child is running down a concrete sidewalk and falls down and skins their knee all the way to the quick. Yeah, and starts bleeding everywhere. Then they come running to you and say, Daniel, Mama, I skinned my knee, and they showed it to you. And you got all that flesh that you can see, and the bone almost is just skin and bleeding everywhere. What do? You take them and you clean up that area because that sidewalk may have been infected or something, but you get all that. You clean it up. And then what you do, you put something over it, like, well, in it. You put some, like, mercurial coma. I don't know if they still use that kind of stuff, but you get some antiseptic and put it on the wound. And then when you put it on there, then you take a Band-Aid, a covering, and cover it. See, the child is not healed right then, but you cover it. But what happens, you tell the child, it's all right now, Timmy. Go ahead. It's all right now. Don't pull the Band-Aid on there. Don't pull it off, brother. Just leave it on there. Give it time to stay on there. In other words, you're giving it time to really work for person, that child. But see, when I look at that spiritually, we come to Jesus. We come to the Lord, and we come crying, Lord, we got cancer. I got cancer. Lord, I got diabetes. God, I got this tuberculosis. God, I got carpal tunnel. God, I got lupus. God, I got all this. I got all that. My lungs are stopped up. I can't breathe correctly. God, my shoulder's aching. God, my head is aching. God, my foot is aching. All these things, we come to God with crying to him, and the Lord Jesus takes us, and he cleans us up. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then he puts that antiseptic, the Holy Ghost in there. Because, you see, the body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. It's already in there. And he wants the Holy Ghost to work on it in the name of Jesus. It brings healing virtue through the Holy Ghost. And then what happens when he cleans it up and puts that antiseptic, the Holy Ghost, in there, then all of a sudden he'll take and put a Band-Aid, a covering over it. And that covering is called the blood of Jesus. Yeah, 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 yeah. I plead the blood. I plead the blood. The blood over that cancer. I plead the blood over that diabetes. I plead the blood over that infection. The blood over that foot infection. The blood against the pains in your hips. The blood over your pains in your legs. The blood in your knees. The blood. Yeah, the covering, he puts it there. And then God tells us that because the blood is over the give it time. Give the anointing time to work. It may not happen instantly, but give it time to work. And because we love the Lord and we believe the Lord, we should do like that little child. Go and run off and start playing like nothing ever happened. Because Jesus said he pleaded the blood over us, and he put the blood of Jesus in us, and we got to give the anointing time to work. We run off and start doing and working for the Lord now, because we know since Jesus said we are healed. Don't matter what the devil says, we're healed. And Jesus says, leave that Band-Aid on there. Leave it on there. Don't take it off. Don't take it off. How do you take the Band-Aid off? Well, when you get prayed for and the pronouncement of the healing virtue of Jesus Christ has been pronounced over you, and he says you're healed, don't leave talking about, well, I still got that headache. I must not be healed. See, you're taking the Band-Aid off. You're taking the blood covering off. Don't walk and say, well, I don't feel no different. I don't think I'm healed. No. You're taking the blood covering off. Don't do that. What you do is walk away and say, I'm healed. You ought to be saying, I'm healed. Because that faith is going to work for you. But you got to give the anointing time to work. That's what you got to do. Don't take the Band-Aid. Don't take the blood covering off of it. Walk away saying, I'm healed. Believe the Lord. The prayer of faith has been prayed for you. It's going to work. You just got to give the anointing. Oh, my God. God, don't let me act crazy on this phone here. But I feel the Holy Ghost in the room. You got to give the anointing time to work. It will work for you. He may not come when you want him, but he'll be right on time. You see, Isaiah knew that you had to give the anointing time to work. Mm-hmm. Because Isaiah said, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Mm-hmm. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They're going to run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. You see, I discovered that you have to give the anointing time to work. You see, when I looked at this text, I saw that they were in Galilee. Mm-hmm. And the priest was in Jerusalem. When I did some research on it, I found out that Galilee was about 30 miles from Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. They didn't have any horses. They didn't have any donkeys, according to the text. But all they had were their feet to walk on. And they began to walk towards Jerusalem.